This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is BFM's Morning Run. It is 7 past 7 in the morning. It is the 4th. It is the 11th of April, 2019. I'm Kusa Chuang, joined by Lin Mak and Sharit Abdullah. This is the business end of the morning run. Now, a roundup of how stock markets did overnight. In America, stocks ended mostly higher because investors have focused on the minutes of the March Fed meeting and a policy update by the European Central Bank. The S&P rose by around a half a percentage point. The Dow Jones rose marginally, just a little bit, about a tad, under 0.1%. And the Nasdaq was up nearly 1% at 0.7% higher.
Yep, so investors also took a look at March's consumer prices reading, which came in at an expected 0.4% increase. And now in Asia, markets were pretty mixed. So Japan's Nikkei, the Hang Seng, and the KLCI were all on the losers list. KLCI fell 0.2%, and on the gainers was South Korea's Kospi, while the composite and the Singapore's STI rose marginally.
So clearly, the strong start to the year for global equities is showing signs of fatigue, and therefore the dovish stance of the Federal Reserve. Around the world, Australia?
That's right. So according to Bloomberg News, polls are showing that he's facing an uphill battle to prevent shift in the power to the left-leaning opposition Labour Party, as well as big news, shares of Lyft plunged 11% to, you know, considered a new low. I mean, even though they just recently were listed. And as this is in line with Uber's IPO plans, picking up and overshadowing Lyft. So it seems that Uber might be looking to raise about $10 billion, according to the sources from Bloomberg.
Interesting. Didn't realize that Uber is going to be coming out after Lyft rather than before Lyft.
Yeah, and Lyft's share price is actually at $6.12 a share. So if you compare that to its IPO price of $72, that's quite a drop.
And also Brent crude, not forgetting, they continue to rally as it jumped another 1.6% to just under $72 a barrel.
Yeah, 71.73 actually, to be precise. That's a spot rate for the January for the June 2019 delivery. But interestingly, Malaysia's ringgit has actually dropped a little bit more, down to 4.108 against the greenback, and the Malaysian KLCI, the only dropper among the region for the year-to-date basis, down by 3% versus the Straits Times Index in Singapore, 8% higher. Hang Seng up 16.5%, Shanghai up 30%, the Nikkei up 8.4%, the Kospi up 9%. So really, Malaysia is the only dropper around the region so far this year. Okay, so we've got Vishnu Varathan. He's the head of economics and strategy for the Singapore-based Mizuho Bank. For more insights into global markets, Vishnu, welcome to BFM again. Now, you would have seen that the IMF has knocked back again 2019 global growth by as much as 0.2% to 3.3%. That's the second time they've knocked back growth expectations so far this year. What's your prognosis for growth insofar as the brewing trade war between the Americans and the Europeans are brewing?
I think one of the things about the IMF is their assumption about trade was fairly grim to start with. They do not think that the US-China, even if they reach a trade deal, they do not think that any of the tariffs will be rolled back. So that's one of the reasons why their outlook remains fairly downbeat. And I think they have quite rightly flagged that actually global trade tensions remain high. And the recent EU-US tensions over autos and aircraft, so on and so forth, I think those bring home that point. And also, I think some of the downside risks that they're pointing to, they concede that this is despite the Fed turning more dovish, which is supposed to lift the economy. They're alluding to the fact that the downturn has deepened, particularly in some places like LATAM and Middle East, North Africa, as well as in the Eurozone. So they've knocked down Eurozone growth further to what they did in January. But that's still not as low as the ECB has it yet. And I think the two important points about it they've made in the title and their headline references, they speak of a precarious recovery. So they're not convinced the recovery will be a strong one after it's going into 2020. And they're talking about a delicate moment right now with downside risks. So I think they still think that growth could slow a little bit further, especially if there are policy missteps.
Okay, Vishnu. And on the EU, EU members, they're set to vote on the proposal whether they should be offering UK a flexible delay for Brexit, which could go up to a year, and also with an option to leave possibly earlier. So will this extension make any difference on investors' concern related to Brexit?
Well, I think what it does is it then you know, focuses a lot of the Brexit risks around the UK itself. I think one of the points is the first thing that I think investors will get a little bit skittish about is the fact that if they need to extend this well beyond May 22nd, in fact, beyond June, that's to say they can't exercise the early exit option in an organized, orderly manner, then UK will have to take part in the EU elections, which I think the Tories don't want this. They find that this will diminish the standing of their party within the UK. So political risks within the UK will step up because of the EU obligations first. And then following that, I think the need to converge around what they want out of the exit continues to be an uncertainty for them. And last but not least, you could see early elections or PMA being forced to step down because she couldn't deliver what she promised to. And these things could come to haunt the uncertainty around the UK's exit and hence the sterling and UK assets. Last but not least, I think France still wants to pressure the UK out before June. So if that becomes a little bit of a headline, even if a transient one, investors will also be concerned about that.
All right, Vishnu, thanks ever so much for your time. That was Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy for the Singapore-based Mizuho Bank. We're going to be coming back in a couple of minutes with Johor Menteri Besar, amongst other local domestic news. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.